welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Today we have on the show with us again Dr. Wayne Rossiter, author of the new book, Shadow of Oz, Theistic Evolution and the Absent God. Dr. Rossiter holds a PhD in ecology and evolution from Rutgers University, and he's also an assistant biology professor at Waynesburg University, where he studies diseases and marine biology and ecology. So Dr. Rossiter, thanks for coming back on the show with us.
I'm happy to be here.
So in our previous edition of ID the Future, we spoke with Dr. Rossiter about his new book, Shadow of Oz, and we talked about some of his own personal background, how he got interested in the topic of origins, a lifelong interest that he's had, and also we talked about his interesting conversion experience, or you might call it a deconversion experience, from atheism to theism, and how that played a role in his thinking on this topic. But Dr. Rossiter, we want to get into some details about your new book, Shadow of Oz. Before we get started too much here, I'd like to know if you could just define for us what theistic evolution is so our listeners understand what we're talking about here.
Sure. Well, there are many different types of theistic evolutionists, but in general, what you basically have is an attempt to marry evolutionary processes, which we mostly mean to be things we perceive as chance processes in nature, to the idea of a theology that contains a God who has some intentionality or teleology to those things. So their main struggle, or as they would see perhaps their victory, is to try to marry what looks like chance to us to something that is intended by an ultimate creator.
Yeah, I love the line that you have in your book, Dr. Rossiter, where you say, "The Darwinian paradigm stands opposed to the classical understanding of a Christian God. The reason is plain and obvious. Something cannot be intended and unintended at the same time." Is that sort of, in some ways, the essence of your critique of theistic evolution?
Yeah, and I actually deal with some of the very specific rejoinders that have been offered to that, because I think they believe they have some arguments that can make sense of that. Particularly Stephen Barr has some arguments in that sense. But yeah, essentially, I think that's the very general knockdown, is you can't get specified outcomes from something that is a chance process. It's like 8 million people playing the lottery and knowing that your Uncle Ted's going to win it. That's simply not possible. And if it is possible, the game's rigged and it's really not chance after all.
Yeah, exactly. That makes a lot of sense. What, in your opinion, is the biggest problem with theistic evolution? And I know that this might be a big question to ask you. It might take some time for you to answer it. So feel free to take your time. But what is your opinion of the biggest problem with theistic evolution?
Well, I think my biggest concern with it is, from a logical standpoint, it just contains so many internal inconsistencies and logical contradictions that it really can't keep itself afloat. And that requires some unpacking. But basically, that's what you discover again and again, a continual contradiction of ideas internally. Effectively, what theistic evolution attempts to do is to create sort of a firewall where theology has answers for things that science can't answer. But then at the same time, it wants to hold a naturalism in which science is competent to answer basically everything we want to know about material reality. And I would just say that that's where the theology problem immediately comes up, because ascription to a type of theistic God necessarily means you have faith claims that do affect material reality. You have a creator of some sort directly intervening and doing things in that reality. And they really want to hold a strict naturalism. And it's important to note, most people, when they think theistic evolution, they think is Darwin's God. And the titles of many of their books suggest that. But if you actually read them, I mean, there are full-blown creation accounts from cosmic to astronomy to geology and then the biological stuff. And they hold naturalism basically throughout. Take, for example, John Hott from Georgetown University. I'll give you a quick quote. He says, "We look in vain for God in the history of nature or in human history if what we're looking for are special divine interventions." And then he turns around and says, "An ultimate theological account of cosmic and biological evolution in no way interferes with the purely scientific explanation of evolutionary events." So again, what you get there immediately is basically that God's really not in the business of actually putting his fingers into anything. He's completely undetectable. He's not visibly active. And in that sense, he immediately becomes very unnecessary in any immediate sense, unless you're just going to go back and sort of invoke this sort of prime mover Leibniz's sufficient reason sort of argument. You end up with this God who's really not there, which is the subtitle of my book, Theistic Evolution and the Absent God. To sort of go on real quickly to unpack some of the things that come out of that very immediately, almost all the theistic evolutionists hold that the universe is still evolving towards perfection from chaos. Again, he says, "If the universe is still unfinished, then we cannot demand that it should here and now possess the status of a finished perfection. think about that in the context of a biblical creation account, in which you have series of creation events, and there's a point at which you have this rest of God saying, I completed this creation, and it's very good. And then in that creation account, what you then have very quickly is a fall from that goodness towards a continual state of decay, which is the exact opposite of what theistic evolutionists argue. And I would also just mention that this has a problem scientifically. So theologically, I think it sort of turns Christian theology on its head. Scientifically, what you get is something that works directly against our understanding of thermodynamics, entropy, and universal heat death. So scientifically, it's not working out of the gate. They can't make sense of evil and suffering. As Carl Giberson points out, sin nature would have had to have been part of the evolutionary process. It would be hardwired into us. And so effectively, you have God using a mechanism that literally creates sin, and we are created sinful in our own evolutionary nature. And that evolutionary process itself is driven by death. It has no moral context. It's relying on mutational process that generates ghastly, even occasionally lethal deformities, cancers, diseases. And if you read them, most theistic evolutionists just simply punt on the problem of evil and suffering. They can't deal with theodicy at all.
Sometimes you do hear theistic evolutionists who will try to use theistic evolution as a solution to the problem of evil. Because I guess, and I sometimes have trouble understanding exactly what their logic is here, but it sounds like they're saying that somehow if God used an evolutionary process, then he is further removed from creation, and so he's no longer responsible for any of the evil in nature. Of course, Judeo-Christian theology has had solutions to the problem of evil for millennia, and so they're kind of ignoring those solutions. But I don't know. I mean, do you ever see that people will actually try to use theistic evolution as a way to solve the problem of evil, but really it's not a solution at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think that just flatly fails. All it tries to do is give you a one arm's length distance between God and the evil, but you're still talking about God creating a mechanism. It's a domino effect. If I made a machine that caused suffering, I am still the author of that suffering because I made a machine that I knew would cause suffering. That argument seems to just flatly fail immediately.
Dr. Rosser, any other big problems with theistic evolution that you'd like to add?
Well, I think that for the average person on the street who hasn't really familiarized themselves with the arguments, I don't think you need to know a lot about science, biology, or even theology to kill the entire view, as long as you understand that they hold a non-interventionalist understanding of God throughout all of his creation. And then they put Jesus right in the center of that. And all of them actually claim a supernatural God incarnate man, Jesus, who was born of a virgin, performed many miracles, rose from the dead. And of course, they reject all of the other supernatural things in their theology because science rejects them. And yet, for some reason, they want to try to hold on to that particular thing in direct opposition to naturalism and to scientific understanding. And that's one that, to this day, still befuddles me. I'm not sure where the hang-up is, how they can justify claiming these supernatural events of the life of Christ and then sort of extracting that from everything else and leaving naturalism in its wake. It's a very, very strange and seems contradictory view.
Okay, well, Dr. Rosser, thank you very much for your discussion of your critiques of theistic evolution. Again, the book is titled Shadow of Oz, Theistic Evolution and the Absent God. You can pick it up on Amazon.com. And as I said in our previous podcast, if you're a student who is hearing from your professors that Darwinian evolution is both perfectly compatible with faith and unquestionably scientifically correct, but you kind of have the sense that your professor is not telling you the whole story, then you need to pick up a copy of Shadow of Oz. Or if you know a college student who is going through the typical pro-Darwin indoctrination program that so many undergraduate students face these days, then you need to buy this book for your friend. And the book is again titled Shadow of Oz, Theistic Evolution and the Absent God. It's by Dr. Wayne Rosser, and I highly recommend it as a comprehensive critique of theistic evolution. So, Dr. Rosser, thanks for coming on ID the Future.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.